Mein Mechessen Beis. Mein Mechessen Beis. Er hat die Mishnah, der Tag. Aloche Gimel. Sorry, I've been waiting for you. Aloche Gimel. Cool new leather jacket there. Real leather? Okay. Where?
My next door neighbor, Appleton.
Oh, yeah. They may share probably it's his brother. Brother-in-law. Okay. Gazmat Bevnisa. If somebody steals a coin and it gets split, Paris Yukiba steals fruit and it gets rotten. Yain Bichmitz wine, it becomes sour. Mishayim Shastam say all those are considered to be drastic changes in the object. He can't restore the object to its original owner anymore. He has to pay, rather, the cash equivalent of its value at the time of the theft. Matbeah Benifso, if you stole a coin and the coin became possible, Lamechesim Beis 76. If you stole a coin and the coin became possible, in other words, it's no longer current, no longer can be used. Truma of an idme, so a truma, and it became tame, but it didn't actually go rotten. Chomets of a pace of these all halachic changes or technical change or governmental changes, but the object itself has not changed. Behem an animal of an evda by aver, and aver was committed with it. Oshivso me'agabis mecher became rendered unfit to be a korban in some other shape or form. Oshoyziotzu is so gross on the verge of being stoned, but has not yet been stoned. Omer says, Arish chofenecho, the same animal I stole for you, you get it back like it is. Ravun Amar, now it's a little bit tricky, this Gemara here. Ravun Amar b'shesapishesapishesapasoto malchus. The beginning of the Gemara, which said, the beginning of the Mishnah, which says the coin was cracked, it doesn't just mean if it's literally cracked. If it is not current anywhere in the world, or anywhere in this kingdom at this time, that's the equivalent of an actual crack. It's more or less the same thing. We're going to get there. Shmu Amar b'shinistak vaday. No, Shmu, so it's not so about literal crack. It's not as long as it doesn't have a literal crack, you can give it back and say, Rich Chol Venecho. Only if it has a literal, actual crack, can you not give it back. Okay, now we have, we'll come back to that in a moment. Meantime, Mark goes on to the next issue. Rabbi Yudah ben Pashi and Rabbi Yitzchak said, Venture kibu mina knima. When can you not say, Rich Chol Venecho? The animals have become rotten because they have a blight of some sort, which makes them uniformly rotten. I mean, kibum mitlas, but if some of them got worms in them, kibriyanein, it's as if they're legitimate fruit. How you have a problem with worms? You're from, you don't like eating worms? They got the worms. That's your problem, not mine. I raise your call for necho, I give you back the fruits. Okay? Ravun Amar, yeah, the good old days, right? Ravun Amar, b'shesapa, when we get trade for kosher. Ravuna Amar b'shesaposher p'salto machus. Ravuna said, now we're after this next case in the Mishnah. When Mishnah Kork does say when a coin has only been rendered unfit by the machus, then you can say Reisha Lofanecho. So according to Ravuna, what's the difference between the psul and the Reisha, where you can't say Reisha Lofanecho, take back your object, this is, and the psul and the save, where you can't say Reisha Lofanecho. So the psul and the save is Bishop Pasalto Malchus Avo Pasalto Medina. Yes, the Malchus was postulate, but not every district in the Malchus parcel with. In other words, say the United States rendered this coin no good. And you can't use it in Illinois, Wisconsin, or Indiana anymore. But you can go into Missouri, and in Missouri they'll take it. So it means, even though the United States parceled it, and several states parceled it within the United States, since there is somewhere you could still spend it, that suffices that it's still considered to be a coin vis-a-vis our racial chofanecha. So that's why everyone distinguishes between the ratio where the coin is universally possible and not current anywhere, and the sefer where it is mostly not current, but in some places it still is current. In that case, you could say a ratio chofanecha. Okay? Or Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, I feel besalto machos. Shmuel says, when can't you say Harech Chovanech if it's utterly, if it's actually cracked? He holds, if it's besalto machos, even if it's not current anywhere, you can still say Harech Chovanech, because as long as it's a psul, which is not physical, but rather in its value, you can still say Harech Chovanech. Rabbi Yehuda lo nach his base father. One day Rabbi Yehuda did not go to the base medrash. Come Rabbi Mona. So later on he met Rabbi Mona. On the later he said, Ma chidus havu l'chom bei medrash yom adei? What happened to that? What chidus to the base medrash? On the later he said, Milos palon, a certain thing he told him. Now, the Gemara here is being makatzer. In Gittin Perkei Aloche, which is here on the side, it says that he told him that the chidus day in the base medrash is that Rabbi Yossi said, if you're metame somebody's fruit, you drop a sheretz on his fruit. So you have to pay him for it. Because it's not like a maisa. Why? Because it's a religious damage, not a physical damage. Okay? So if I'm metame this fruit, the sheretz, I don't pay. That's right. No! It's a private value too. But it's the same fruit. No. That'll be the next Mishnah. We'll speak about that. Actually, two Mishnahs. So, Amalei said, Lamas Nisei, isn't that our Mishnah? Truma Venitme said, if the Truma came to Ame, you could still say, Areshachal Vanecha. Right? So we see that even though the Truma is useless now, as long as it looks like bright, shiny apples, so it doesn't matter. Amalei said, Tipot there, he said, no. That's not Rabbi Yossi's Kiddush is greater than our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah could be talking about only B'shinit Mishmeyalel, where the Tuma happened on its own. Not where the God have dropped the Sheretz on it. For our Mishnah, he wouldn't derive that if a God of intention was Madame the Tuma, he'd be off the hook as well. For that, you need Rabbi Yossi's statement independent of the Mishnah. Okay? Chilfi Amar. Chilfi said, Nishba lo karma Pesach. If I took an oath before Pesach that I don't owe somebody chometz, and it turned out that I did owe him chometz, after Pesach I gave him legitimate chometz, not chometz shavu of Pesach. Where can I pay about chometz shavu of Pesach when I didn't take a shvua? But if I took a shvua, that pegs my obligation at being chometz, which is mutter, and I can't give him back even his own chometz after Pesach, which is also because of the shvu which I took. Where I just have stolen and kept it in my basement and made it also that way, then I could give them back after Pesach and say, Arish Chofanecha. But taking the shvu pegs me, the shvu asher, having to bring chametz, which is legitimate, not chametz, which is love of Pesach.
Why does the shvu do that? I don't understand.
What? Because the shvuah is considered to be like a specific, when I'm koyfer mamon, and here the mamon is in the form of chametz, but I'm koyfer mamon that's an independent chiyuv than the gneva. When I steal something, I become a shomer on that object, and I have to give it back. But here the kfiras mamon, the denial of an obligation, is an independent obligation. Now, there's something fishy here. Amrei Mona, Atzis Kitzar, I went to Caesarea, Vashkitz Rabbi Chiske, and I found Rabbi Chiske, Dorish Lame Bishun Rabbi Yaakov Racha, and he was darshing this over in name Rabbi Yaakov Racha. So I asked him this psak of Chilfi. In Yitzbar Nash Poliach, if there's anybody arguing on Chilfi, Shem Mishan Chomet Yafe holds, you don't give Chomet Yafe. So this, and he responded, no, I come by the Muhammad Shem Mishan Muhammad Yafe. Everybody agrees about this. But the Tzion Rishonim brings down that not everybody agrees with this, meaning some of the Rishonim ignore this Rishonim. And some of the Rishonim hold that in fact, if you take the Shvua, it doesn't make a difference. You can still give him back the Chomet Shavu Levin Pesach, which is really your perspective from before. So it is a machlokes between the Baal Yerushalmi and the Rishonim, who seems to not see the Yerushalmi. That's basically what it boils down to. But it's not, obviously not in the Bavli if we have such Rishonim arguing on that. Okay? Halacha dat. Nothing umnim v'kilkel. V'kilkel. So you gave the umnim, you gave a craftsman something to fix, and he ruined it. Chayom Rishon, they have to pay, the craftsman have to pay. Nothing l'charsha gave a smith, a blacksmith. Not blacksmith, a woodsmith. What are they called?
Carpenter.
Thank you. Nothing l'charsha that he gave him one of these wooden boxes, l'saki to fix, v'kilkel, and he broke it, Chayom Rishon has to pay. Habanoi, a builder, Shekibo Lovis, a Kaisel soldier, accepted upon himself the contract to knock down a wall. The Shubres Habani, and he broke the stone. So Shehisik, or he damaged, in the course of knocking down the wall, Chayav Shami has to pay. So he has to be bonded and insured. If he was breaking down the wall once, I've been up on Tzarachar, and it's on the other side, Potter, because it's not his fault. Except the Machma Samaka, it was because of his hammer blows that fell on the other side, then he's Chayav, then he's alive. Ravuna Maravuna said, it's not so poshut. Ravuna said, we should cover up Masmer Achron could at least go to Caleb. The only time, the way Lieberman explains it, it's only when the worker put in the last nail in order to acquire the object which he's fixing. So we have to step back and understand what this means. Normally, a worker, so Lieberman explains, a worker on objects which he's working on is a shomer. He's a shomer socher. A shomer socher is potter on onus. So if he slips up in his work, he should be potter. The only time he becomes, how could he possibly be chayev? He's only mechayev when he... On the object he's taking, he's a shomer chino. Until he takes the object as collateral on his wages. When he takes the object as collateral on his wages, then he becomes a shomer sachar. So the Yerushalmi holds, which is kind of weird, but this Yerushalmi holds, that you're always a shomer chino. You don't start off being a shomer sachar because eventually you're going to hold this as collateral on your wages. You start being a shomer chino. When you become a shomer sachar, only when you finish the work and then are holding on to it until you get your wages. When you're makapanish. So that's what it's talking about here. When if the damage you wrought in the object occurred prior to the last blow, then you're only like a shomer chino, and you're not liable for that. Only if the damage occurred in the last blow which you took, which simultaneously is the blow after which the object becomes the collateral you're holding in lieu of payment, then you become a shomer socher, and then you're chayev for that damage which you did, which he calls ones kein gneva, a slip up, which is similar to stealing. So it's very interesting, because according to Bavli, we would never say such a thing. We say he's a shomer socher from the get go, and anything, any damage which he wreaks on it, he's liable for. But the Yerushalmi story is dafka from the last hammer blow, then he becomes a shomer socher.
Because it's not worth anything until the last nail is put in. It's not what you want. It's not your table or your door.
It could.
So it makes sense.
Okay. They never prepaid. No. It's a minor invention. They never prepaid. But I don't. At least I don't think so. But so that's the assumption of this mission is that they didn't prepay. Prepaid would be something else.
Basically, I give you a goat.
Yeah, but he didn't do that here. If that might change aloha and economy, but that's not the case over here. Okay, aloha. You're right. It could be different, but the assumption was the stamp case. If you contract somebody to do labor, then you might give a down payment, but you only pay the basic, the major amount for the end. Nasa tzemer letzava. Okay, now it gets a little bit complicated. Nasa tzemer letzava. You give wool to a dyer, v'kdicha yura, and something goes wrong with the pot, okay, the dye pot. V'nosnod meitzimro, you have to give him back
the value. It's your mistake, your pshia. You have to give him back the value of his samar of his will. So have a car. What if you dyed it, but in a deficient way? Car means with an iron. Usually, it means disgusting. If it's worth more than the expenses, the enhancement to the wool is greater than the expenses. Those as you say, you give him the expenses. If the expenses are greater than the shevach, than the raisin value, those are shvach. You give the shvach whatever is lower. Now, who are you giving this to? Who's giving to whom?
The
owner. Was giving to the worker, right? Okay.
No, reverse.
The first case, we're switching back and forth. In the first case, the worker, the dyer, is giving the value of the wool to the Baal Bus.
Right.
The second case, the Baal Bus is giving because he ruins it.
Yeah.
In the second case, he didn't ruin it, but he made a deficient job. He gets whatever is less. The expenses or the shevach, whatever is less, the expenses or the rise in value. Let's go for. But that since he was poshe here and didn't do the job right, we wouldn't say that. Umich claim shvach is where actual enhancement. We haven't spoken about a case like that right now because we're so far spoken about a case where he's muffed up. It's
it becomes enhanced as a result.
Okay, fine. Okay, we'll get that. Okay, now.
You print the stamp upside down.
Litzbo l'odam shachar. You gave it to him to dye red, and he dyed black. Shavu Tavar that died black and he died red. Remember, man also the Meitzim says it's a mistake which requires the dyer to pay the Baal Bus. It depends again. Shvach here say itzia also itzia. We say itzia say or shvach nes or shvach give whatever's less. Okay, now the next Gemara, the Gemara here begins. I stared and stared at this Gemara. I'm telling you my horror story here for maybe a half an hour today, until I finally saw that in the Skoriel manuscript, the words Avlikdicha Yura have a notation by them that they were found in the manuscript between the lines, whereas they weren't originally part of the line. That made my life much easier for me. So we're just going to take out those three words. Okay? Now Lieberman missed the boat on this one too because he just assumes that it was put in because it was omission. But it's not. It's clear that that's the way it should be. Ravunamar bishikdichu samimonim. This is talking about, now the point that we should know, the Bavli says that we're talking about a case where both, and we're assuming the Shama said about the same thing. I mean, I assume it. The wool and the dye belong to the Baal Bus. The dyer is contributing solely the pot and the labor. Okay? He's not really contributing the pot. All the raw materials belong to the Baal Bus. So, if it's the dye which went bad, so the dyer says to the Baal Bus, it's your problem. Right, you gave me the raw materials, right? Okay, that makes a lot of sense. If you try to put in those three words, it really makes no sense. I don't know what to do with it. Okay? That's where the pot causes the problem. Shmuel says, Afilu ikdichu. Now here everybody changes it. I mean, not everybody, quite a few people change it. Afilu ikdichu yura. Right? Even if the pot goes bad, which of course is difficult, because why should you say a racial chalufanecha? In that case, you, the worker, the one who brought the pot, if the pot was the cause of the dye going bad, so why should it say a racial chalufanecha? So Shmuel, so the it's interesting what the Bavli says. The Bavli really explains this. The Bavli says it depends when he kdiach, when it went bad. Did it go bad when it fell in immediately? Or after it was boiling for some time. So Igdiach b'shas nefila, the Bavli says, then you say Hareshul Cholofanecha. If you say Igdiach later on, then you don't say Hareshul Cholofanecha. So I wanted to say, based on what you were saying before, if it's been bubbling for some time, then in the bubbling process in my pot, Uman Kleine b'shvach keli, I already have a stake in this. If I have a stake in this, so I can't say Reishul Cholofanecha, it's mine as well as yours, because I've been working on it, and the work which I put into it is my acquisition in the object. But if the problem occurs immediately when it falls into the pot, then he could say Reishul Cholofanecha. I might be charged with negligence or something like that, I'm not sure, but the bottom line is I say, it's not mine. It's your samanim, your dye, your wool. I put into my pot, immediately something went awry. This is your problem. If we have to meet in court, we'll meet in court. But Hareshul Cholofanecha. It's only after it's been sitting there for a while that the Baba says, no, you're in the pot together with me, because you already have a stake in this by virtue of the work which you put into it. Okay? So that's where your component comes in. I think that's the way it has to be read. Okay? In any event, if it's not read that way, it beats me how you can read those two lines.
And the concept of Shomachinam doesn't apply here, or doesn't make any difference?
Well, it depends if it was paid or not, but the assumption is it's going to be like a Shomer Sachar. But he'll say a Reish Cholofanecha, and he'll be liable for whatever damage he caused. But you can still say a Reish Cholofanecha, even if it occurred immediately when it dropped into the pot. That's what Shmuel is saying. Okay, and that's basically what it says in the Bavli. Now, says more further. What does it mean if the shvach is greater than the tzah, you give him the tzah? Now, this is fascinating because Yerushalmi actually argues on all our conventional understandings of Otzah. Now, I should make this clear. I'm learning like the Shari Torah Seretz Yisrael. Tosfos in the Bavli and Daf Kufan Beis tries to be Madchik Pshat in the Yerushalmi, and I don't know if he's learning the same way. But what's bothering the Shari Torah Seretz is twofold. It's bothering two things. So what's bothering Yerushalmi, he says, is twofold. First of all, it says here in our Mishnah, if the Otzah is greater than the Shvach, you give the Shvach. What happens if the shvach is even greater than his salary? Right? What happens to salary? What do you mean? Maybe that's the shvach is greater than his salary too. Right? So of course you're not going to give greater than the wages itself. Right? It says, if the expenses were greater than the shvach, you give him the shvach. But maybe the otzos were greater not just than the shvach, but those were greater than the salary. You're giving the value of the expenses even though it's greater than you're giving the value of the shvach even though it's greater than the amount of his salary. It makes no sense. That's one problem. The second problem, which Shari Torah Yisrael says, is the weaving back and forth in our Mishnah between who's paying whom. Because I pointed that out in the Mishnah. Some cases, the Baal Bos is paying the dyer. Some cases, the dyer is paying the Baal Bos. So the Shari Torah Yisrael says the Yerushalmi is bothered by this weaving back and forth. Who's paying whom? So every Yerushalmi comes to new chiddush, a new pshat hotzah. Shvach Yerushalmi learns more or less the same as the Bavli. The enhancement in value means what the object is worth more enhanced in value more than the sum of the raw materials plus the labor. That's what shvach is. Okay? There's if raw materials labor adds up to $20, it's worth $25, so the shvach is $5. Right? Hotzah is the difference here. Hotzah, the Baal Yerushalmi learns, is wages. Hotzah is not the expenditures, but rather means the wages specifically. Not the expenditures including the raw materials, only wages. Okay, now the Yerushalmi is going to explain. How so? My shvach is hotzah, no se hotzah. What does that mean? Bar nash du'ev l'chavrei chamishah minei amor chamishah minei tzamani. He gives him five types of wool, and assumptions that's equivalent to $5, and five types of dye, another $5, basura money agri, and the wages are for $10. Okay, the labor is 10. So raw materials are 10, and labor is 10. Okay? Amalei said, tzivei sumik. He wants him to dye it red. Matzavi ukum, instead he ties it black. Armalese said, Ilu tzavati sumak, were you to have dyed it red, havatavis fimachamisho amanoi, it would have been worth $25, right? $25. In which case, you should get his $10 for labor, right? No problem, right? Could do the tzavate ukum, but now that you dyed it black, hutav leis hutav elas rimanoi. It's only worth $20. Is there any shvach here? There's no shvach. Because the raw materials plus labor were $20. Materials plus labor.
The labor was 10, so it's a wash.
Okay. So was there, but there is hotzah, right? What's the hotzah? $20, right? I didn't get the, before we get to Yerushalmi. What's the hotzah? Credit Bavli, $20. Of course, I can give him $20. But how much are you going to give him? $10, right? How much do you think you give him according to Yerushalmi? $5. He has to pay you back $5. He has to deduct from his salary the missing. The work has to pay the
Bavli.
It would
have been worth 25 had he done it the right way.
Exactly. So this is a totally different shot. Because now the entire Mishnah is talking about always the dyer's paying the Baal HaBos. Sometimes the dyer pays the Baal HaBos everything. The cost of the raw materials he pays him where he messed up really badly. Sometimes the dyer just deducts from his wages the shvach. That's what it means. In a shvach, Yosef Lotzah. Then if there was shvach, so then okay, you give him a salary, give him a hotzah. If my hotzah yesar al shvach, then he has to. And even a case where it looks like even Stephen, no, that means that the shvach has to come from the wage of the worker's wages be deducted and given to the Baal HaBos. So it's always the Baal HaBos getting back something from the worker. That's what Yerushalmi says.
That's assuming that it would have been worth 25 had he done it right.
That's correct.
That's a big assumption. Right?
That's correct. But he's entitled to make that assumption. That's what Gemara is saying. At Ovetz Didach, you lose from your wages, I'm not losing from my amount. So you lose $5. So it's always going to work. In other words, you have to give me back $5, okay? So this is the critical point. In the Bavli, he would get the $20, he would get his $10. And just the Baal HaBos got no revach from this. But you show me, I'm not losing from me, you give me $5. Okay? So that's, and therefore I keep maintain my shvach.
Consumer
protection. Okay? Says Gemara, what? Oh yes, good part, right. Well, here he messed up with the color somehow. Rabbi Yonah said, and this is derived, Lieberman, I am impressed with this. He says, Escorial Manuscript said it's Rabbi Yosef. Lieberman said, yeah, from the syntax used in the statement, it's talk Rabbi Yosef, not Rabbi Yonah. I don't know what level of Bikias you have to be on to know what syntax of statement belongs to Rabbi Yosef, not Rabbi Yonah, but at least he thought he was there. Okay, Vatisha Mina.
I would say
no, Chas v'sholem, oi, Chas v'sholem. Vatisha Mina. From this you derive, a guy gives to his friend $8. The Zovin Lechitim is very to buy him Tiberian wheat. The Zovin Lechitim is very to buy him, and said he went to buy bought wheat from Tiberi. Amalaysia said, Ilus Vantalim Tveria, were you to buy me wheat from Tveria, have a Sri Mechamisha Moide. It would have been a 25 Moide. I'm not sure exactly what 25 Moide is. I think it's we would have been able to get 25 measures. The grain was cheaper. Same grain was cheaper. Kununus Vantalim Tziporin, now they bought from Tziporin, a Lason El Sri Moide, you only got 20. At Ives Didach, what I would have gained, we have to deduct from your wages. I don't lose anything. Again, that's unique to the Yerushalmi. Deduct from the wages. Going to the Bavli, Nebuch, he's out, right? He still has to pay the worker because he didn't lose anything, he just didn't gain anything. So either Otzos, Yes, Shvach, Shvach, Yes, Otzos, he whatever's less. But according to the Yerushalmi, no. You have to, the worker has to deduct from his wages what would have been coming, the revach would have come to the Babais. Okay? What? Right. The not you break, because the grain, I guess, was cheaper. They have larger measures, so they sell more wholesale style. It's not yields from the ground, it's in the marketplace, right? Right, physical amount. Okay? Tani, Anaisim Mos Chaver, somebody gives money to his friend, Likach Lochitim. Lokach Losarim, the guy, I gave you money to buy me wheat and you bought me barley. In Pirsu Pirsu Lo, if if there's a loss, the loss is incumbent upon the shliach. The Mosiru Osiru Lo. If there's an advantage, the advantage goes to shliach as well. The Tayachor, another brisa says, in Pirsu Pirsu Lo, if there's a loss, it goes to the shliach. Bimosiru osiru l'shteim, it goes to both of them. Okay, they split the revach. Now there's a lot missing here, which actually is a gemara in the Bible, in the Yushalmi and Demai. For some reason, it didn't get copied here. The Yushalmi and Demai says here, manamar pichsu pichsu lo imosiru osiru lo, Rabbi Meir. He says that everything goes after the shliach. That's Rabbi Meir. You don't have this here, and also you don't have the next couple of lines. My time, Rabbi Meir. What's logic, Rabbi Meir? The seller had in mind to do his business with the buyer, who was the agent, and therefore, if there's any advantage, it goes to the agent as well. My pichsu pichsu lo. He owes that. If there's a loss, it's lokeach's problem. But there's a gain. They split it in the middle. That's Rabbi Huda. And now, picking it back in the Gemara again, my time to know, so I tried to that they split the advantage. So he's gavin moichel is kosel baal mos. When the mocher gives extra, it's because he's getting more money. And who's the master of the money? Not the shliach. It's not because he likes. So the question is asked, it's because I like the shliach's face, and they give me a little bit more, or is it because I like the shliach's money? Then it gave me a little bit more. So it's because Shliach's face, so the Shliach should get it. That's Rabbi Meir. It's because of the George Washington's face. Then that is the Mishalech's George Washington. Okay? So I knew what you would say. So it says Mar Veloma. Now everybody changes. And at first I tried not to change it, but it just works easy to change it. Let's take out the word Ain. Not everybody, but a bunch of people change it. Veloma Cholikimo. So if that's the case, let the Baal Mos get everything. If it says George Washington, which is generating the profit, why does he have to give part of the Lokech? So it's more very interesting principle. I don't remember it from my, it's a long time ago. You're not allowed to derive benefit from your friend for naught. In other words, your friend, after all, the Lokech, went and did it for you. So therefore, you have to give him some portion of the advantage which you achieved. And that portion of the advantage you achieved, Chazal determined, was to give him half. Okay? Which is an interesting perspective. That's the way to learn it. Okay? Says the Gemara, Ameatafil Amar lo, Likach lo chitim, Velokach lo chitim. If that's the case, so let's say, When the guy said, the Baal Bayis said, get me chitim, and he brought him chitim. So in that case, why don't they split also? In that case, why don't they split? What? Yeah, they brought the agent did the request. So then we say everybody agrees that all the money, then the money goes for sure to the Baal. Why? You should have to split it there too. So again, here the scroll manuscript adds on. It says you the following line: Am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "B'shosh armalei likach lo ba'em chitim." We said, "Buy wheat." And he bought wheat. Then there was no kshutvus. It wasn't the lokeach has no partner, and then the complete profit goes to the Baal Mos. So as opposed to Rishon Shama lo likach lo chitim lo chlo sorim, where he said buy me wheat and he bought sorim, lo yitzkavim morchelus kosel lokeach. The morchel had a mind to give to the lokeach. Now not exactly to the lokeach. It's a little bit difficult because Lamaisa, I guess we're asking Rabbi Meir. We're asking Rabbi Meir. The question of Rabbi Meir. Meir is the one who says that the lokeach lokeach's face, right? So the kash is, how come when you told the guy buy wheat, and lokeach bought wheat, if there's an advantage it goes to the Baal Mos? And when you told lokeach buy wheat and lokeach bought barley, there's an advantage it goes to lokeach. What's the difference? So the Gemara is saying the difference is, Rabbi Yochanan says the difference is that in one case he has in mind the agent did what he was told, so the moicher has in mind to be mezakeh to the Baal Mos. Where lokeach did not do as he was told, so the moicher has in mind to be mezakeh to the lokeach. So the Gemara asks the obvious question and answer. It says, v'kiyem abiyodei, Gleeman has girsa, which is a little bit easier, v'kisim abiyodei, meaning, speaking of Ruach HaKodesh, what the moicher is about Ruach HaKodesh, he knows when the lokeach is representing properly the moicher, and when the lokeach is not representing the moicher, and when the lokeach is properly representing the moicher, then he gives the advantage to them. So the lokeach is probably representing the Baal Mos, he gives the advantage to Baal Mos, and when the lokeach is not properly representing the Baal Mos, he gives the advantage to lokeach. Well, he's a Navi, how does he know such a thing? He's a magician, how does he know such a thing? So as Gemara, I'm not sure I'm going to like this answer, but Amr Ibn Asr said, "Lo yada b'shoah shekiyem shlichuso." When he fulfills shlichus, now my Gemara, as I received it, has had a handwritten notation in it. I don't know if you have it in yours. Do you have it in yours? Yeah, the question mark above in parentheses here.
Yeah.
Does yours have that? Yours surely doesn't have that. But whoever photo offset this Gemara, photo offset from somebody who already had made these notations in this Gemara. So it certainly works out nicely. I don't know who makes this change, but nobody else makes this change, but it's a good change. And the Shaddai Tisso makes a little bit of a similar change. He says here, so I mean, as a Shosh came Shlichus, so when the age was a Kaim Shlichus, take out the low, Niskavin HaMoichel is Kosu Ba'amos, then the Moichel has in mind to be Mizakh Ba'amos. Lo Kiyem Shlichus, if he didn't, it wasn't Mekayim Shlichus, Niskavin Liskos La Lokeach. He has a mind to be Zoich to Lokeach. Which really means that the Moicher does have in mind that it depends what's going on in front of me. Now, everybody, I realize now, I did make a mistake before, in that the whole Kashin Teretz here isn't Rabbi Yehuda. The Kashin Teretz, Rabbi Yehuda says you split up. And now the Gemara finally asks, how can we split up? In other words, couldn't I, Meir? It makes sense. Okay, give it to Lokeach. Lokeach realizes completely the profits. Where Lokeach switched the Shlichus, he realized the complete profits. They all go to him. But if that's okay, and you're basing that on the assumption that the Moicher has in mind, conditionally, depending on what's going on, when this guy comes in front of me, either it's going to go to the Baal Mos, if he's Mekayim Shlichus, or it's going to go to Lokeach, if Lokeach disrepresents the Shlichus, right? Which there is a little bit of logic to it, even though the Gemara of the Rishonim doesn't explain, but there is a little bit of logic to it, which means in the hierarchy of a guy's mind, he has in mind, who am I Machzik Toiva to? The Moicher. The guy is paying me, right? But I know that sometimes it's not the guy who's paying me whose money it actually is. In that case, I have in mind at the same time simultaneously that if it's somebody else who's responsible for this deal, let him have the Hanah. So that's why he has in mind either the Baal Mos, if it Taka is originated with Baal Mos, or if there's somebody else who's the catalyst for this, then the person who's the catalyst. And therefore, the Lokeach who's Mishana, he has in mind that he should go to Lokeach. Which is nice, but then that contradicts what he said before. Because he said before, Rabbi Yehuda says, really, the advantage should go to the Baal Mos. Aye, so why is Lokeach get something? Because it's also Lenos Michaveda without paying her cover. But now the question is the opposite. So out of that case of Izui, it goes to Lokeach. V'lama choylek imo. So why is Lokeach being splitting with the Baal Mos? L'chayra, it's because the Baal Mo, because the Moicher like the Lokeach. Right? So why is he split? So here we say the same swar, but in the reverse. Since whose money was ultimately at the bottom of this deal, whose was the bottom line? The Baal Mos. So therefore it's true Lokech realized this profit because he was Mishana. And the Moicher might have given the profit in case this was a Shinui case. But since there's almost an ethical thing, since the Baal Mos gave you the money to invest, therefore it's proper to split with him. So it's the same thing we said before, except before we're looking at the direction from the Baal Mos, who should get everything, he splits with Lokech because Lokech was the one who went out and did the dirty work. And we're saying the opposite. He really Lokech should get everything, but the Baal Mos gets half because it's his money which was allowed the deal to go through. And this is both contradiction to Rameir. Rameir holds Lokech gets the whole advantage for his Mishana, lock, stock, and barrel. Okay? Excuse me? Oh, yeah. We're talking about a case where Lokeach got more. There could be a case where Lokeach got less. No, if Lokeach got less, it's his loss. Okay? In this case where there was more. Okay. So let's go further. He's Rabbi Shmuel bar Bo. Kumi Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shmuel bar Bo asked for Rabbi Yochanan. Vatninan. This is a similar question. But see, then we learn. It's a similar question to the previous question about, you know, magicians. These guys are going to keep late. Slaves drive. I drive like slaves, so we might probably finish by the time we get back. Hopefully. Hey, see, Rabbi Shmuel, but since they came late, they must be punished tonight. Hey, sir, Rabbi Shmuel bar Bok. I actually came late too, but they don't know that. Hey, sir, Rabbi Shmuel bar Bok. Kumi Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shmuel bar Bok. That's Rabbi Yochanan. But see, then we learn. A person who's makdish himself, marach himself, or makdish his property, his kid's clothing and his wife's clothing, hekdesh doesn't get. Also, now here there's a gears of shari teretz yisrael. You don't really need this gears, but it helps. Nor in the kalim. Well, actually, you do need this gear. For lo became should sava lishmon. This is a quote from this Mishnah Nechin. Nor in Kalim, which he died for the purpose of his wife and kids, even though he hasn't gotten them yet. The wife and kids have not yet received these Kalim. On this, the Gemara asks, even though it's not in our Gemara, Shai Tarasel brings it down. How does the dyer know he's dying for the wife and kids? In other words, the same question we're asking before. You're saying the garments that you're dying for the purpose of the wife and kids, they're not part of the Hekdesh. How does the dyer know to be mechabin that you're for the wife and kids? Well, how does it work? Amalos, he said, no, it doesn't matter if the dyer knows. Also, die type of memo off. Also, die to loy mar, because he's barav. He had in mind to exclude from his hektesh the ksus of hektesh ishto banav, and also he had in mind to exclude even the ksus shetzova l'shein ishto banav. In other words, here it's not contingent on the dyer's intent; it's contingent on the matish's intent to exclude certain things from his hektesh. So that's why it works. It says more fine. I'm going to court you now. What about in this case? So the guy says erki olai. Now, Erki Olai was mentioned there. Erki or Marech Atzmo said before, same idea. In Erech, Erech is an absolute. The difference between Hekdesh and Erech is Hekdesh, I determine the extent of the Hekdesh. So therefore, it can be told in my Das, right? But Erech is an absolute value, $50 for an adult Jewish male, right? There, it can't go by what he has in mind. It has to be absolutes, right? Because I'm not tailoring it. So came from Erki Olai lo kavel atzmo chamishim sela. You only determine $50 upon himself, right? And his das makes no difference. So Erki Olai, if somebody says Erki Olai, Amanat Shelo, it should be the Scoria manuscript has Losar. Amanat Shelo Losar, Mashal Ishto Ishti Bni. Does he have the right to preclude and exclude from the prohibition that which is on the wife and kids? How there does he have the right to do that? So Rabbi Nasr Shemrei Bun Berchio says, Hoimer Kiolai. Somebody says, Erkiolai, Amanashalo Lasader, they don't arrange to take, Amanashalo Lasader, we gave this morning, on the condition that they don't take from me. Sader means to remove from me. Chavitz Ploni, A misogyny lomi also chavitz, they don't remove, don't take from him, even then, his own object. And Kavchomer is wife's object. How could this be? Again, Lichora, based on the principles of Erech, it should go! Because Erech is an absolute, it's not tailored by his das. So says more, a very interesting answer. Rabbi Shemeshur Abba says, Zoitzo Meres, this teaches us, Shein Shomin Erkim in Ataltin Dvar Torah El Midivreim. Midaraisa Erkim only gets collected from real estate. It's only Mirabonin that it gets collected from movable objects. So in Achanami, in certain cases, the rabbis were willing to relinquish their stricture and say, if it's something which belongs to your wife and kids, or if it's something you explicitly yourself precluded, then we don't make you give it up. Even though with the Rabbanim we normally do make you give it up, since it is only the Rabbanim, we're willing to count in its exceptions. Where the right said there'd be no exceptions. On real estate, there's no exceptions. Okay? So says the Mishnah further. You can check, we're still out. Hopefully not. Halach above. Now, till the bottom of the page, it's all Mishnah. So, it's a very long Mishnah. So this will go quickly. But we'll do the Gemara, basically. Hagoizel is chaveru shavet pruta. Somebody stole from his friend the shavet pruta. Even a shavet pruta. A minuscule amount. Venishbalo. And then he made the mistake, besides that, of making a shvua on it. Friend said, did you take my pruta? And he takes a shvua, he didn't take a pruta. Yolchen achra filumada. He's got to bring it, but he has no kapara until he brings it to him, even in Madai, no matter where he is. Now, I'm not sure exactly what difference is between the theft itself when he took a shvua on the theft. But for some reason, when he took a shvua on the theft, it's more severe, and you have to go find him wherever he is. Okay? Loitein lov no, and you can't give, I guess there's the difference. You can't give it to neither to his son, nor to his agent. You have to give dafka to him himself, as opposed to, I guess, a goslin. Regular goslin give it even to his son or an agent. What you can do is have an shliach basin, give it to an agent of the court. If he makes, and if the nigzal dies, yashayoshim, you give it to his heirs. Now, besides that, whenever you take a shvua, it's not just karen, but also chomish, and a korban, all three. So nice and low, nasas karen, lonas and low, so chomish. He became the principal, not the extra fifth. Mochas karen, below mochas and chomish, or if the god, the nigzal, was Moichel you the care principal and not the fifth? Moichel Azev Azev, or is Moichel you both? Chusi Pachas Shavah Pruta Mikaren, except for a little bit lesser Shavah Pruta in the Karen itself, so there's lesser Shavah Pruta remaining. In all those cases, Ainat Sarach Leilach Achrav, you don't have to go after him himself, you can send it through his son or his agent. Nasalos a Chomish lo Nasalos a Karen, but if you gave him the Chomish and not the Karen, it was Machal you on the Chomish and not on the Karen. Machal Azev Azev, but who's me Shavah Pruta the Karen? But there is a Shavah Pruta still remaining in the Karen, which was not Machal you. Harei Tzarech Leilach Achrav, you gotta go find him. Nasalos a Karen. If you gave, now you, this is the biggest idiot in the world. You gave back the Karen, you gave back the principal. But you took a shvua that you don't know the chomish, right? After you already chayv chomish, this is the second shvua. The first time you took a shvua, right? And you became chayv and karen with chomish. Then you paid the karen, but then you take a shvua that you paid back the chomish, and it's an abject lie. You're insane, right? So I raise him shayim chomish al chomish. You keep giving a fifth on the fifth on the fifth. Achis ma'ida karen mishor pruta until the new karen, which is the chomish, which you lied on, is less than a pruta. The chen b'kikaron also supplies to shvua on a b'kikaron on something which gives a safekeeping, open to sumas yad on a loan, or begezel, or on a theft, or shakas amitot, just quote from the pasuk, or any other cheating your friend. Or motzaveder, he found a lost object, he put it united, v'nishma al sheker, he made a false oath, harezim shalim keren, v'chomish v'oshim. Now, kini masnisa, this is what our mission means to say, every time you add on a fifth by a false oath, so until the final fifth in sequence is less than Shar Pruta, you continue to have to be able to make to be required to find him wherever he is. So finally you get back to the less of Pruta. Amar Rabbi Yonah said, the Shaitan so changed it, B'shvuas HaChomesh. When you take the Shvuah and the Chomesh, Nas HaChomesh Keren. Right? The Chomesh obviously becomes a Keren, and now if you took a Shvuah on the Chomesh, then denied it, right? So then the Chomesh becomes Karen, and then you have another Chomesh on that Karen, and so on and so forth, ad infinitum. Lo Asya, Elo B'Shas Eidim B'Shas HaKorban. Now this is very cute. The way Lieberman explains is very cute. So I have to. It's a very simple and very cute. So I'll use Lieberman on this. He says, there are two differences between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. One, the Bavli holds, let's say we're moided to the Gazlan himself. You're moided to the Gazlan himself, so you owe money. So according to Bavli, it's still considered to be a theft in your hands until the Gazlan agrees that he become a pikaton instead of a theft. Or at some point he might agree with you and say, you know what, let's make it a pikaton instead of a theft. I understand yourself for me, okay, now you're a showman. According to Bavli, that requires a explicit agreement. According to Yerushalmi, the moment you're made it to the Ganav, you're no longer a Ganav anymore, you're a Nifkat. That's point number one about the Yerushalmi. Okay? Now, also, according to the Bavli, then this is according to the Bible. This is true even if you took a shvua beforehand, before you committed to the Gazlan. Once you took a shvua, you still remain a Gazlan until such time as he agreed to make it a pikado. But according to the Bavli, according to Shami, the moment you concede to him, you become immediately a shomer. So therefore, in order to not be considered a shomer, that you still have to go acharav lemodai personally, supposed to ben shliach. To whom do you have to? To whom do you admit the gzela? Not to the bialim, because the moment you admit to the bialim, even you become a shomer. And if he goes to modai, you don't have to follow him anymore. So you can only, our mission only works if you're moided to edim or based him, right? To basin or edim, but not if you're moited to the bialim himself, right? Because then it would turn into a pikadon, because you don't have to follow him. You could send it. It's only when it's gezel that you have to actually follow him. Also, so our mission only works at the time when you're moited to edim, not to the master himself. Also, obviously, this goes without saying, our mission only works b'shas ha-karmon, there's a beis hamikdash. There's no beis hamikdash. We can't talk about an Hashem. Our mission is talking about Hashem. So our mission is talking about the Yushami says our mission is talking about a case where you're moited to Edim and Bismacha based on Mikdash Hayakayam. Okay? Let's go to the pattern page. Where's my Pikada? Okay, different case. A Mafki comes and says, where's my Pikada? Amalyava says, I don't know, I lost it. Mashbiachan, to take an oath. Varmar Amei. And he says, yes, he takes the oath. Vaidimim also on the Edim to testify, Sha'ochlo, he himself ate it. So what is he? He's a Gazlan. Mishayim is a Karen. He pays the Karen. Hold him out, so if he conceded on his own, Mishayim Karen, Mechomish Vashem. Halacha is if Edim proved that you lied in Yeshua, you only pay Karen. If you concede on your own, it did Shuvah, you've been Karen, Mechomish Vashem. Eichon Pikdoini. Amar Lo, so he says, Nignav, somebody stole it. Mashbiachin, he took an oath by Amar Omen, it's called Toin Tanis Ganav. Vayim Elso Shagnav, obtained this by he himself stole it. Zem Mishan Tashlumi Kefil, he pays Kefil. But Hotam Yatul, in this case, if he concedes on his own, he gets off lighter. Demishlaim only Kern Chemish Vashem. Because Kefil is only Adim testify you stole. If you concede you stole yourself, and even though you lied on a Shvuah, you have to pay Kern Chemish Vashem, but you don't have to pay Kefil. How goes those up if you steal from your father? Finish Balo, you take a Shvuah to him. Who makes it, and your father dies. Okay? So I raise the Mishan Kern Chemish Labanov. You gotta pay, you gotta do tshuva, right? So you gotta give Kerem Chemish. So you give the Kerem Chemish to? To either his other sons or your brothers. If he doesn't want to give up his portion, either he's stingy or he's too poor, he doesn't want to give up his portion, if he doesn't want to, loive, he borrows money. And gives the money to his brothers in payment of his theft, right? And then Bali Chayvis Boyev and Ephraim, and the Bali Chayvis from which he borrowed the money to pay back his theft, they come and collect from this money the money which they are owed. So ultimately, they get back it's kind of like a vicious circle. They get back the lenders get back the sum of the loan from the Goslin. Now, I'm not making this clear. This guy is a Russia. Let's make this clear. He's no Baal Tshuva. What he doesn't want to pay back the Keren Chemish for himself. So he goes and borrows the Keren Chemish for somebody else. So now he gives the Keren Chemish, he distributes it among his brothers, right? So now the lender says, I want my money back. He says, I don't have your money. So he goes. So now, since he has a lien, he can go back to. He can go to the other brothers, and I shouldn't say that. He can go to this brother and say, "Well, at least the portion which you yourself have, because you're one of the brothers, so you get a portion that I should be able to take back from you." And that he does get back from him. So let's say there were two brothers, right? And he gave back half, and he kept half. So the life, the malve. It's going to recoup half of what he loaned this Goslin. And the other half, which the Goslin paid to his other brother, that this Malva is going to lose. So eventually maybe he'll get it back, but right now he's not going to get it. So this is not a great Eitzah for the Malva. The Malva is going to lose. And this guy's not going to treat a particular great Kapora if he's tricking somebody else to pay back his brother. But I don't know. This is something which technically he could do. Anyway, be that as it may. We don't accept pictures from women, slaves, and children. Because for you know the money's coming from the husbands, the masters, and the parents. If you receive the pictures from a woman, yachsula, give it back to her. Don't keep it. It's a hot potato. Mace, if she died, yachsula, bailo, give it back to her husband. Mayavid, if you got it from a slave, yachsula, give it back to him. Mace, if he died, yachsula, will give it back to his master. Mikatan, if you got from a katan, now here to try to throw change switches the order of this line here. Mikatan oisem skula, don't give back the katan, because what's the katan going to do if you give him back the money? He's going to spend it, right? But on the other hand, you don't know if it's his, so you make some investment out of it, which is safe. Okay, now it's not really a pikatan, so you just make a skula, you make something which will keep its value. And if the cotton dies, however, then yachsula love if you give it back to his father. In the meantime, however, if the cotton doesn't die, you make a school of something to retain its value, and when the cotton grows older, then you ascertain what the facts are. Period. The kulan shamer shas moisan. Anybody, all of these mafkidim, real mafkidim, who said as they're dying, you must do plenty shehen shalom, give it to so-and-so, because they're really his. Yaseh, everybody changes the gears here, that's scroll manuscript, Shartari throw, basically even as well. Yasu mefurash kiperusho. Not perusho, perusho. Perusho, perusho means you have to touch up. Did you really mean it belonged to him? Maybe he meant something else. But the way that Meskoriel has it, Yasu mefurash kiperusho, you do as he specified. Whatever he specified, you do. Rabbi Zvita B'Shem Rai Bob, our memo said, Ubiovad be'edim. You need Adam that the Shchibira said this, or whoever it was. He has to say a saying. He says, where do we have such a case where they did like the Shchibira said? Kadosh itas the Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, the wife of Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, So even though it's a woman, Rabbi Yisai, in this case we listen. That's the Chiddush. Even though you're not mekabel pikadon nashim avanim k'tanim, if you were mekabel pikadon, and as they're dying, they give you a command what to do, you listen to what they have to say. What's this case? The case is where the wife, Rabbi Barba Khan, said, "Midam she's dying, Omer she said, I ain't should be kedusha. This bracelet, debar to you. It's my daughter's." Vu amar, Rabbi Barba Khan, he said, "Na'ah, leisu, LDD, it's my bracelet." I'm not sure what he wanted with the bracelet. I don't know. But he said, "It's not her bracelet to give to her daughter, it's my bracelet." Asuvdi, I guess he was a second husband, you know, he wanted to give it to next wife. So Asuvdi Kumi Rav, so the case came in front of Rav, and he said, Eidon the Matzah the Shaka B'Shas Misa. Even the Nashim Avadim and Ketanim, we don't assume they're going to lie at the time of death, and therefore we do what she said, and he gives the bracelet to her daughter.